Welcome to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish is brought to you by Today's Tackle, Cats on the Red, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Now, here they are, Brad and Brad.
God, I love that open. That thing is just great. I'm really, really, really glad we did it. Well, I'm alone once again this week. Brad is off enjoying the fellowship of his brothers, but that's okay because I got some pretty good subjects tonight, and a special guest is joining me. Josh Burgett from Grand Forks joins me. How you doing, Josh? Welcome to Why Fish.
Thanks.
The reason I brought Josh on here is he spends a lot of time on small bodies of water, lakes, rivers, streams, going for basically any fish that he can catch. Josh, what got you into the small type of rivers and streams and lakes?
Well, I like to get away from the crowds for the most part. I think that's a really big issue. And it seems to me, you know, a lot of guys, especially lately, we'll hear a lot about how slow most of the lakes are. And I mean, sometimes you can drive an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you're not going to catch anything at all. So I guess I'm just taking advantage of a lot of the great ponds, lakes, coulees that are close by my hometown.
And did that start because of fuel prices, or did you just kind of start that when you were young, or just kind of your love of fishing and it's easy to get to in short notice?
All three of those. No, mostly it's the gas thing, actually. I mean, I'm not gonna drop $100 every time I want to go fishing. It's just, you know, I don't really care if the 7-pound walleyes are just slamming at, you know, this lake. I just as soon drive 15, 20 minutes and hook into some decent fish and have fun and just kind of be by myself, enjoy the solitude.
How's the winter going for you so far?
It's going all right. I've caught some, you know, fairly decent sized fish and a couple different species, and you know, the quantity along with the quality is there, so it's going pretty good.
Now, when you started in this little lake, did you just kind of go for everything you catch? I'm assuming you've kind of got your species figured out now. Do you want pike this day or walleyes this day? Do you have kind of a rhyme to the reason now when you're hitting a specific smaller body of water?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just kind of boils down to what I'd like to just pursue that day, whether it be, you know, if it's a nice day, generally I like to fish for pike. You know, it's always fun to set up the tip-ups and you know, just kind of wander around the ice. And if it's cold, you know, one day I might fish for perch so I can just kind of, you know, enjoy the warmth of my hut. And, you know, same thing with a lot of the other species.
Now, you've mentioned that it was the crowds. Do you find that the fish take a little simpler technique, or you got to work them just as hard as you do the water that is typically hit really hard with a lot of traffic? Or haven't you thought about that one very much?
Well, it's just, like I said, I guess, I mean, it's not, it seems to me it's not really, you know, as fun when there's just your augers drilling around you constantly. It's not that it's preventing you from catching fish, or that the pressure is any higher than that of a smaller body of water. It's just, I do like the solitude, and, you know, sometimes, you know, you think that you're gonna, you know, just kind of have better odds at a place where it doesn't have as many people fishing on it, I guess.
Now, when you started going to this, I'm assuming you've got some hot spots that are kind of secrets. And believe me, on this show, if you've heard any, and our listeners that are regulars know, there's a lot of unnamed bodies of water to us. Have you developed some of those for yourself in the area?
I have, but still, I mean, there's, out of, you know, Lord knows how many bodies of water in North Dakota there are, there's always going to be somebody else that's going to be fishing the same body of water as you. But I do have a couple that are, you know, virtually unfished, and I like to take advantage of those when I'm kind of, you know, need a little confidence booster when I'm doing bad at the, you know, other bigger bodies of water. So
now, where I'm going to change the subject here real quick. When I first saw you, I saw you in a Red River, and everybody who listens to this show knows the Red River is a hot topic to us. What got you started in the Red River, and what draws you to the Red River?
Well, it's, I don't know, it's, I think it's the same thing that draws a lot of guys into it. You know, they hear stories about how the catfish fight's so great and it's such an excellent time. And I had actually never fished the Red River out of a boat until last year. And I did, and I hooked into my first 20-pound catfish. And I've really been hooked ever since then, and I've been really taking it seriously and just, you know, just slowly progressing and getting more into it.
Now, you said that it was the first year in the boat and that you're kind of pursue it. Would you rate the Red River as a small body of water or a large body of water?
I'd probably rate it, you know, up towards the larger bodies of water because, I mean, it goes forever and, you know, some places gets, you know, fairly wide, so.
And you probably like it because of its solitude, because I know as well as anybody you can be the only one out there on a lot of occasions.
That's right. It's always nice to enjoy the scenery on the side. You know, see your deer, your eagles. It's just peaceful.
And, you know, that's kind of the name of the game. Do you primarily fish by yourself when you go, or do you got a group of friends that you hang out with, or kind of where do you go with that?
I usually fish by myself. I just because... it seems that it's easier to have a game plan figured out in your head. You know, you don't have somebody that says, no, I don't really want to move to this spot. You know, you can just kind of do the things that you want to do. You can use the presentations that you want to do. But I do like taking people that haven't been fishing before, or just, you know, my friends when we just want to relax and have a good time. So I guess it's kind of a little of both.
And there's the old story. I always like to show off the Red River. I want to go back to ice fishing for a couple of minutes, and anybody who's been in the Grand Forks area the last week, the big talk in the paper is a small body of water called Larimore Dam, which is about 25 miles west of Grand Forks, and there was a gentleman pulled a 45-inch, 25-pound northern pike out of there, and the reaction by most people around here is utter shock. And I know you've spent some time on Larimore. Have you ever seen anything like that, Josh?
I have. We were just talking about this the other day. You know, it was last winter. We'd fish Larimore really hard, you know, consistently every weekend. And being the clear body of water that it is, you know, you can be 20 feet of water and see right to the bottom. We caught a lot of fish that were, I guess, approaching 15 pounds, but we did see a couple fish that we knew for 100% fact that they were at least 20 pounds, if not more. So, and I guess, yeah, I'm not really surprised. Yeah, that is pretty impressive fish.
Now, you just brought up the fact that it's a clear body of water and that you can see right down there. And just before we hit the record button for this show, you said, I don't fish with a Vexilar, and my eyes lit up as utter dismay. What's your reason for not using a Vexilar, and are you, you know, is it something that you just feel is a challenge? Is it the clear water?
It is the clear water, because like I said, a lot of the places that I fish are very clear. It's not just, you know, oh, it's 7 feet of water here, I can see the bottom, it's, you know, 20 feet of water. And so I guess I just like the, I'm a sight fisherman, I like to see my lure. And I like to just kind of, well, okay, that one's kind of small. I'm going to pull my line up a little bit. Oh, there's a decent one. It's kind of basically that, and the combination of, you know, money, unless you're going to buy me one.
I don't know about that. You know, there we have it, folks. We always talk about simplicity, and as you know, Brad and I both won't go anywhere without our Vexilar, but there we have it. There is somebody on this earth.
The one person.
There's more than just you. Believe me, I know. But there, you know, you can go sight fishing, and I've done it before. It's pretty darn exciting when you get the opportunity. And unfortunately for me, I spend a lot of time on Devil's Lake, where clarity just isn't an option in most cases. So my Vexilar is my eyes. Do you bobber fish at all when you're on these small bodies of water, or do you pretty much exclusively sight fish?
Sometimes I'll bobber fish, especially when I'm either setting up tip ups or I'm just doing something. I'm occupied. I'm not in my hut or, you know, anything like that. But generally I don't, just because I have to jig because I mean, I don't know when there's a big fish down the hole. I don't have my Vexilar. So Usually I don't use a bobber, but like I said, if I'm setting up tip-ups or if I'm in my pickup, I've got a bobber on there with the bail open.
Or if you're like me, you just have a good case of adult ADD.
That's right.
So, Josh, if you're going to get started on some small body of water fishing, what are you going to look for when you get out there? Is there anything in particular, or is it just kind of like any other lake where you just try to get a map or try to find your way around and little trial and error?
I think it's the trial and error part, because I know of probably at least a dozen different ponds that are they're kind of all connected in one way or the other, and each pond is kind of, you know, it's good for a certain species. One pond might be good for perch, one pond might be good for northerns, one pond might be good for largemouth. So you just kind of got to set your presentation to what body of water you're fishing and what species is the most abundant.
When you find these new smaller lakes, is there even maps available for some of them?
Most of them there aren't. You can try and do some kind of a Google Earth type search, but for the most part, it's going to come up just a lake, and you're not going to know the name of it. Some of them don't even have names, I don't think.
So you're basically, you don't know what's down there. You just get kind of an aerial shot of it, and that's that.
Pretty much, unless you talk to somebody at a bait shop that, you know, knows a guy that knows a guy that heard of this place that's really good, you know, and it's got this kind of fish in it, you know.
Now, as far as, I kind of lost my train of thought on the fly here. As far as when you're learning these, do you typically shore fish these, or have you actually put some sort of boat or flotation device out there to kind of figure out your way around?
Whenever I can, I always like to use some kind of a boat, whether it be a canoe or my fishing boat, just because I like to explore a lot, and it just seems to be easier to do. I know I took my canoe out on Larimore Dam last summer, and we had a great time. We found a spot that had some really great bluegill action that I probably would have never dreamed of trying to walk all the way over there. But, you know, for the rest of the part of the dam, we didn't do really good. So, yeah, I like to use some kind of a boat.
Or in the ice, you drill a few holes and drop a few depth finders and, you know, just kind of take notes as you go and figure it out, I'm sure.
Right. And then, you know, of course, if it's... you know, depending on the water clarity, you know, seeing what kind of structure you have, rocks, sand, weeds, you know, that's one thing to look for, too, when you're targeting a certain species.
Well, I think that's pretty informative. Folks, small bodies of water have a lot of fish in them, and they are, for the most part, overlooked, especially in the North Country where we're at. So if you're looking for a change, or in some people's cases like mine, you're looking to save a couple bucks at the gas pump, take a look. Josh, thanks for joining us here at Why Fish.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, as we tell you every week, Why Fish is brought to you by some great sponsors who take care of us and keep this thing coming to you every week. And those are Today's Tackle, home of the Ice Buster Bobber, the Rod Rocker 2, and many other innovative products. Cats on the Red in Lockport, Manitoba, probably the mecca of trophy channel cats on Earth, or at least in North America. And Stu will tell you that every time you talk to him. Check them out, catsonthered.net. And last but not least, Trophy Cat Adventures. Don't forget to sign up. We're going to give away another trip this year from Kent at Trophy Cat Adventures. All you got to do is send an email to contest@whyfishradio.com. Now through the beginning of May, you can enter every other week. And we have some different incentives on the site, so come back and check the blog each week and, you know, keep playing, because this package is worth some money, and it's going to be a fun, fun time. So for Brad, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
Thank you for listening to Why Fish Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for another Adventures in Fishing. For more information, log on to whyfishradio.com.